Scott LaRue. I'm a firefighter paramedic with LA City Fire, and then I've been doing that for 10 years. And then before that, I was a police officer for 5 years with LAPD in Simi Valley. So the police department's a little bit different than the fire, and I enjoy the fire a lot better. But I got some great experience from doing that. I'm also a member of a national incident management team where we go around and do we manage incidents throughout the country, like wildfires, the shuttle crash, a big earthquake, Katrina, Rita, any type of hurricanes. We'll go out there and manage. We'll take 60 members from all across the country, and we'll go and help manage an incident. I'm also a FEMA instructor for Incident Command System, and then I'm a member at Class Rita Baptist Church out there in Santa Clarita, if you're familiar with that area. On the way to 29 Palms.
Okay.
So, all right, kind of new. What's your first name again?
Tim.
Tim Scott. Sorry, kind of got a background on you. And like I said, so my scenarios are more based on a church scenario, being that many churches will have a scenario such as this, and we'll discuss what our options might be in this scenario. But we got a 56-year-old male, Sunday morning service, or maybe he's at one of your local events. And he's been ignoring some chest pain since last night. Members seated around him notice he's clutching his chest, struggling to take a deep breath. The man's obviously in trouble. In the middle of a church service, what are some challenges with that? As you're sitting next to him, say he's sitting right there, what can you perceive as some challenges with that?
First of all, in my situation, the challenge would be we're 20 minutes from an ambulance at least. We don't have AED. We got 75 people at church service probably. My wife happens to be a registered nurse, so we might, you know, and I'm CPR and all that certified, so, I mean, hopefully we recognize the problems there and you know, start something, you know, I mean, call 911, but I know we're going to have a long wait for that.
We have the
church services going on. We got people around.
You got some issues.
Yeah.
And we're in Los Angeles. You pick up your cell phone and you call 911. It goes to the state patrol or state police, and the first thing they're going to ask you is, hey, what's your address? Because calling from a cell phone, it's not a hard line, therefore they don't, your address just doesn't pop up. So a couple people hop on their cell phones and say, hey, you guys having a heart attack, where are you? I think I'm at Main and First. And this guy goes, no, we're at Slauson and Third. So no one really knows the address or where they're at. I mean, do you know the address where we're at right now? No. So you hop on, someone collapses in here, and so you hop on your cell phone, we're all going to go, well, I'm at Southern Baptist Seminary. Okay, what's the address of that place? I don't know. And I don't even know where the 911 call goes from my cell phone here in Kentucky, but it's a challenge. So it's nice to have someone there that can say, hey, I know where the address is. Have the people that are trained, they can, even though in the midst of the chaos, start treatment, you know some people called. The trained person in your plan could call and say, hey, just verifying, you got a reported chest pain. Yeah, we actually got two. One was at Slauson and Third. The other one was at First and Main. No, it's actually 2816 Lexington Avenue is where our church is at. 56-year-old male, seven chest pain. Okay, so those other two calls? No, they didn't know where they're at. Okay, we can clear that up. And then it goes back, is, are there people trained in your organization ready to deal with the issue? Meaning that they see this, they know exactly what they do. Hey, we're going to go to the medical room, we're going to grab the kit, and we're going to act on this. The ushers know, oh, shoot, we got a problem. They know, hey, are we going to move them or not move them? Medical personnel is going to say, hey, we're moving them. Let's get them out of here. Church service continues. And even train the pastor, hey, if this happens, we're going to let you know, hey, we're moving them, and you can continue, or we're not. So trained professionals are equipped, ready to act. Defibrillator, you mentioned that. Do you have an AED? I'll give you some stats on that, why it's pretty critical to have one. And is the local fire units familiar with your campus. Now, this campus, it'd be critical to have them familiar with how to get here, because we call 911 today, or they're going to say, hey, we're at the Legacy Hotel. Well, if someone's really having a problem, I'm going to want someone on the street, direct them in, someone down here at the street level, then up the elevator and all that stuff.
Like at work, that's what we do as a security team.
Yeah.
One stands at the main road. We got 7 buildings on our campus. So
it's huge. It's huge. So it's just we're cutting seconds off. You know, they say the heart muscle, you got seconds. He's losing blood to his heart, so we're dealing with seconds and time on that. So 20 minutes, if you guys can do some advanced life support or even basic life support to keep this gentleman alive during that time, that's huge. So there's the other challenge you just brought up, doing security staff ready to guide the fire rescue units, not only to the proper building, a proper doorway, have cleared an area for them. Are they ready to clear the sanctuary if they need to? Are they ready to move some chairs? Are they ready to take, hey, family member, hey, mom, children, let's get them out. Let's talk to them. Ushers ready to direct the congregation out. And then something that sometimes we fail to remember to do is, all right, so the ambulance gets there. You transfer care to the ambulance. So mom's going to go, maybe wife's going to go with the gentleman, and now you got to deal with the kids or other family members or friends. Are you ready to minister to that family? Are you ready to send someone to the hospital? Do you have maps available? Because you were familiar with your area. Say, hey, I know Henry Mayo Hospital. Here's the map there, friend. In fact, I've got Pastor so-and-so. He's going to meet you over there. Kind of wrap things up. An awesome opportunity to minister to that individual. The other thing that's huge is being a high school staff guy and being in high school myself, that whenever we go away to camp or whenever we go away to winter camp or have an off-campus event, we're going to have this person show up, and maybe this person shows up. It's inevitable. The kids are going to get hurt. So my next scenario that's going to pose some different challenges is a 15-year-old student away at summer camp, participating in afternoon activities. He does a head-on collision with another student, unconscious, not non-responsive. He's got obvious head trauma. So your group, your church is away. Are we thinking ahead by saying, hey, the same medical team, we're going to send someone with this church or this off-campus event and go with them? Are they going to bring the equipment with them? Do we have enough equipment that we can do a Sunday morning and still take some equipment away to summer camp for a week long with the high school students? What are some challenges with this problem or issue? Did I bring the qualified staff with the student? Are you going to have a policy that when these students leave or group leaves, hey, we're going to bring our stuff? Do we bring our first aid kits? Where are those medical release forms with all their information? Are they? Because what's going to happen when the ambulance shows up? Do they not have 50,000 questions? Hey, is he allergic to this? Can we give him morphine? Does he have any medical history? Does he ever have seizures? So having that comprehensive medical form is going to be huge. And do you know where the hospitals are? Because not every kid at camp that gets hurt needs an ambulance ride. So you can go, Tim's go, hey, I'll take him to the hospital. Well, have you scouted out where this camp's at, where the local hospitals are? Do you know where they're at? Do you know what their capabilities are? In California, we have trauma centers, and some are emergency approved for pediatrics. Some are not. So do you know where you're at and how to get there if you're going to drive this kid to the hospital? And then, of course, when you're dealing with students, the big issue is going to be parents. Who's notifying them? And what's the first thing they're going to want to do? All right, we'll be right there. Where are you? And you're, I'm in Big Bear, California, up here at this nice winter camp. We better have something more intelligent to say than that. So I work in Hollywood as a firefighter, so this is the Hollywood sign, and in the background was one of our big brush fires where we lost 2 firefighters. But what I want to kind of give you today is some suggestions, some help with staff within your congregation or group. Volunteers mostly. Give you some ideas on building the plan, your medical plan. Some equipment you might need. Documentation. Training. And then I'll give you some homework to take back home. When you get into the planning process, you realize, hey, at our church or our group facility, we need a medical plan. And it's, you know, a church service of 75, the plan can be pretty simple. A place like Southern Baptist Seminary, it's going to be pretty involved. But here's some people you want in this meeting: elder, pastoral staff, usher, security, maintenance, some administration, and then your medical expert, which could be your wife, as the registered nurse could be the overall medical director of this plan. When you get in that planning meeting, you're going to want to talk about your staff. It's going to be huge. This is firefighters from Los Angeles going down to Katrina, and the Border Patrol, federal officers providing security for us because they were stealing our water and food. This is the incident management team that I'm a part of right here at Yosemite National Park, fighting fire. And there's the local boys after a fire down there in the corner. But all important people for your overall staff. And then you always hear people maybe complaining, probably not right, but they always complain, hey, how can I get involved in this church or ministry? And they go, oh, are you a paramedic or are you an EMT? Oh, actually I am. Well, we've got an awesome opportunity for you to get involved. And is it going to be a huge commitment? No, because what are we talking about? It's a small commitment, but an outstanding way to get involved in the body, and it's a large impact on the body. So we're asking that they're already trained. Your wife's already working as an RN or had a profession as an RN now as a housewife, but she's already trained. So we're just asking her to, in a time of need, at 75 people, we don't think there's going to be a medical incident every Sunday or every time we go out. But hey, I want you to, you're the person that's going to be, we're going to look to if something goes wrong. So let her find the medical kit, make sure it comes with you, and we're prepared for it. So large impact, very small level of commitment. When you're looking for staff or volunteers, there's always a question, hey, who we want as far as church qualifications? Do you want regular attendees to serve? Do you want members, deacons? This is all going to depend on what your size of your church is. Some can afford a large church. I went to Placer, I was at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley with John MacArthur. I had like 10,000 people or something like that. So maybe we can afford, to say, hey, it was deacons served, or it was members only. We want members only, and they have to be registered nurses. That's the minimum. Well, registered nurses above my qualification, but they've got a congregation of 10,000, so they can afford to do that. So once we get that figured out, you're going to want to say, hey, what kind of medical qualifications? And it's going to come down to the same thing. Hey, it could be you. You know, as a first aid CPR, you're the most highly qualified medical guy they got. Well, you're my man. Right. But you have other options. You got some EMTs, paramedics, nurses. And if you got doctors on within your group, they're great to use as that medical advisor or medical director to give you the overall kind of plan, give you the overall medical advice. Hey, this is what works and what doesn't. There's my train that slammed into the, this is actually the locomotive of the commuter train that they're trying to upright. And there's the NTSB and the FBI. I think it took us about an hour to transport 130 people with hospitals all nearby. So building the plan, this is actually on Pacific Coast Highway on one of those brush fires. They're definitely trying to figure out some kind of plan. Usually the plan is we're going to let it burn to the ocean. It works every time. So components of the plan, I want you to come up with some kind of mission statement, a purpose, organizational chart, and we'll go in depth a little bit on each one of these. I'll give you some examples too. Requirements for serving, scheduling procedures and rotation, dress, uniform, attire, some standard operating procedures or responsibilities. Then we're going to go into, hey, what's in the event of an emergency, what are we going to do? And then subsection there is like, hey, camps, field trips, off-campus procedures, what are we going to do? Large-scale emergencies, what's our plan going to be? And then have a roster and a contact list at the end. and then have all the extras, kind of like an all-in-one, also at the end, where you have an appendix of, hey, this is the medical form. If you want to include the, hey, if we get a hurricane, this is what you can take this, have this written plan. Hurricane's coming in and you're in church service. Earthquake's huge where I live in Southern California. Have that part of the plan if you like. Fire, active shooter, burglary, whatever you can dream up of, you can slide that in at the end. So having a purpose, mission statement, kind of give a history of what's happened, why we're doing this, kind of gives us a goal, what are we setting out to do, provides a little bit of focus for your new medical staff that are coming in, just to kind of, as this plan grows and the church grows, and they can go, yeah, back in 2010 we had 75 members, now we're up to 1,000 members, and my name's Tim, we started this thing, and this is what it looked like, and this is where we want to go. So it gives a little bit of focus. So here's an example of a history, purpose statement that I've pulled out of different medical plans, doing research on this seminar. Kind of gives you a little bit, serving under the direction of your director of facilities, Lance St. Clair. Volunteer nurses become known as medical ministry in 2009, so it kind of gives you a little background. And the ministry works directly under the church security, who alerts the nurses on duty. So as you get new medical staff or medical staff come on, they can kind of brief, kind of see what the SOPs are going to be, where they came from. And kind of gives you a little purpose statement here. Hey, what's our goal? Let's provide assessment, first aid, basic medical services to the entire church community. First Sunday a.m. p.m. worship service, Shepherd's Conference, or any other events that they may be requested. So they know what they're getting into. Always good as an organizational chart, so they know, hey, the hierarchy in the 75 member church, it's going to be pretty, it's going to be less of a tree and more of a branch. But nonetheless, it kind of lets them know, hey, this is where I'm at, and if I have a problem or issue, I've got Wonder Woman here, or Emily Nicole, or Queen Liz, and then Mickey Mouse is our administrative pastor that is overall seeing the overall plan of our medical ministry. My daughter got a kick out of that because she's Emily Nicole, so she enjoyed that. So requirements for serving. Hey, we're going to say we want a church membership. We want you to have a valid professional license because we are dealing in the medical field and people love to sue, once again, especially in Southern California. So it's going to be up to the medical director or whoever's facilitating this new team to make sure our people are licensed and say what they can do. The last thing you need is for someone to come up and says, oh yeah, I'm a nurse and I can do all this whiz-bang stuff. Come to find out, they're anything but that. Come up with some standards of practice. I read one, I think that's in here. Here's an example of some policy. So they're saying that first one, they have to be church membership. They have to be church members. They have to have a California license. And they have to provide a photocopy of it to the coordinator. They will also maintain a CPR certification. And then they're serving in the in California. They'll have a California board registered nurse standard of practice, administering care. And then this is something you might have to come up with. They do not dispense medicine or medical equipment. Now that's in California where there's a hospital every 10 minutes. In 20 minutes in your state, they may say, hey, your wife can administer some medicine, narcotics, whatever it is, nitroglycerin for chest pain, and that's okay. So definitely look into that and see if that's something you're going to want to do and it's something more you're going to consider. With a 20-minute, that's 20 minutes there, and then that's another 20 minutes possibly at least going back to a hospital. You're looking at 40 minutes. That's a long time. So something to consider. And then malpractice insurance, that's pretty severe, but if we're not dispensing any medicine or doing anything really but basic, I don't really see the need for a malpractice insurance, but most of your medical professionals will usually have that, doctors and nurses. as a paramedic, I've never gotten malpractice insurance, so. But it's just something to consider. Coming up with the schedule of procedures and rotation. You definitely don't want to burn these people out. Every Sunday you got the same person working. So that you kind of want to have in your plan, hey, this is the rotation. If there's any changes in scheduling, they know where to go if they're going to call in sick. If they need additional staff needs and multiple incidents, have that in your plan. And then if they are sick or can't make their scheduled time, they have that contact list to find a replacement, and there's a policy in place to tell them, hey, this is what you do. Here's a scheduling example. So they do a scheduling every quarter. If there's any scheduling change due to illness, there's the security office that's staffed. And then if there's multiple incidents, the security officers will notify the medical director, who will give further direction. And that's not saying, hey, this is what I want you to do in your medical plan. What I'm saying is have some considerations. If we start getting multiple incidents, if we get the active shooter, I hope the church body steps up and goes, hey, I know I'm not on duty today, but we're swinging into action. So, but if you have it written down, they know, hey, as a CPR guy, I'm supposed to help, not just take my family and flee. Dress, uniform, attire. It is nice to, in a large congregation, to have someone that's immediately identified, as opposed to just some guy in a shirt that comes up and says, hey, I'm here to help. As far as, no, this is a guy that's officially part of the medical team at our church that's going to come in and help you. And then it also can reduce an infectious control, meaning if it's some kind of shirt that's protecting you from blood or whatnot, it's kind of dual function. Although it's pretty minor, it does provide a little bit of protection. Some responsibilities and standard operating procedures. You want to come up with, hey, hours of service. Do you want them there a half hour early and a half hour after the service begins? How are you going to notify them? We'll go into a little bit of a communication piece. So you want to have a standard operating procedure. What do you want them to do for documentation if they come across a patient? And then any notifications. Someone gets seriously hurt on your church campus, you definitely want your church administrators to know, hey, this is what happened. This is, you know, was a piece of concrete out of place? Is it something that, you know, being from California once again, that we always think civil lawsuits, so it's always nice to notify them. And also notify them for that other, the ministry piece, so you can get them to the hospital. If it is a serious enough injury or medical issue, you can get them to the hospital and they can start ministering to that family. First aid supplies, we'll talk about that, especially if they run out of first aid supplies, how are they getting more. And then where's your first aid room, or where is the room where the supplies are located? And there's your purchasing and restocking if we use some. Responding to emergencies. It's hard to come up with every single thing that could ever happen to a human being. You'd have a book. You'd have medical journals and stuff. So I kind of broke it down into, hey, you got adult children and infant emergencies, and we're going to have some different options. Say, hey, if it's life-threatening, urgent, non-life-threatening, or minor first aid and illness. So if it's life-threatening and they're in the church service, the nurse or EMT is going to go, hey, our standard operating procedure is the person stays here, the ushers come in, and we empty the building, and everything stays here. If it's urgent but non-life-threatening, we can get them out of the building. We're going to go to our room, our medical or first aid room if we have one, or even out to the lobby. And then obviously minor first aid illnesses, we're definitely going to, hey, let's get them back someplace, give them some privacy, come up, have some treatment plans. But those can, I kind of caution you on that, because you can say, okay, if it's a bee sting, we're going to do this, and if the person falls down, we're going to do that. It can just get into a lengthy document. So I like to just keep it really kind of generic, where a medical professional can look at that and say, oh, it's life-threatening, that's what we're doing. So here's an example. There's the life-threatening. And they even add in this example, say, hey, the security will bring the AED in, and while calling 911, security is responsible for directing the EMTs to the patient. And in this, in their policy, it says, except for life-threatening conditions, EMTs are expected to take the patient to the first aid room for privacy and confidentiality. And there's our urgent, non-life-threatening. You can see a lot of the same thread. Security staff. Oh, there's our. That's going to be an issue that you mentioned before. Family members and friends available. That's great job for the security staff to kind of corral them and get them calmed down. And there's our minor first aid. Most likely, we're just going to take that to back to the first aid room. If not, just treat them and release them right there. Field trip, camp example. We're going to say, hey, if we're going to go out of the off the church property, we're going to manage the incident just as if it was on church property. So we're going to have people available according to our procedures. If it was on the properties, first aid supplies will be available on all buses and vans, and at least one church staff should be having age-appropriate CPR. So that we're just going with the lowest common denominator on that one. Hey, make sure at least someone's got some training, some first aid and CPR, and then they bring the AED. Now, if you only got one AED, it may not be coming because we need it for church service. Large-scale emergencies, having your plan, hey, for a multi-casualty incident or disasters, where you maybe cover some quick triage stuff in your plan. Hey, if we do memory joggers, 60 seconds for triaging, immediate, minor, delayed. Maybe have a plan in your, hey, if we do have a major disaster, an active shooter, and the active shooter's been neutralized, we have an area in our church service, a grassy area, we can set up treatment areas so that everyone knows. And then a reunification plan. At my church, we got a large children's ministry, so a lot of the parents come in, they drop their kids off in the children's ministry, and they go to church. So if something happens in that church ministry, you think you're going to have some frantic. So this reunification plan is going to be pretty huge to get the right child back to the right parent and then be able to track where their child went if it went to the hospital. Because they're going to look at you. Tim, where did Joe Bob go? He's only 5. Yeah, he's got a bullet in his chest and we took him to blah, blah, blah. So, but it's going to be huge. That's going to be a mess. And then some incident management. Hey, maybe cover some in the event of a major disaster. So-and-so is going to be the incident commander. So-and-so is going to be the medical group supervisor. And then we're going to have people in each one of these treatment areas. Just kind of give them a brief little kind of brush of, hey, this is how we're going to manage this incident if it does take place. Talked about our contact list and roster. Some people to call if they need help. Obviously, they're not going to be calling them right in the midst of an emergency, but prior to looking for advice, some networking. Hey, I need to find a replacement. So there's phone numbers in the back. And even put in that roster some 7-digit phone numbers to hospitals, the local firehouse, the police station, stuff like that so they can call. Say, hey, we've been burglarized, but there's no one in the building, but we do need some help. And then it's always there for an annual review, so every year we take that document out and we kind of make sure we got all the right phone numbers and the right people in the right spots. Some extras for the plan, police, fire station locations and contact lists, hospital locations, contact lists, maps. We talked about why we want that. You know, have a plan for the media. The media can sneak up on you. You get an active shooter in your church. It's going to be a mess. And so have some verbiage in there. Say, hey, the so-and-so is going to be our spokesman for any media contact. And until that time, we're no comment until we get our heads together and come out with one single message that we can deliver out to the public. And that's going to be in conjunction with the police and fire and EMS. But definitely have a plan for that. And then have some checkoff sheets if one of your members in one of the buildings or something, hey, receives a bomb threat, that she can go to the written plan that may be hanging on the wall, go to the checkoff sheet, a bomb threat, and she's going to, hey, the person said this, 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 and this, and spoke like this, and had an accent, and something to that effect. also have in that appendix, hey, the medical forms. This is huge because we're dealing with parents and small kids. A kid gets a bloody nose, but we don't need to go racing in to get mom and dad out of the church service. But hey, we want to document, hey, we saw Johnny had a bloody nose, stopped after 30 seconds, we pinched it, he continued playing, no effects. So mom comes and picks up Johnny. Hey, just to let you know, we had a little incident, everything worked out great. We didn't see the need to come get you, and treated and released. Oh, thanks, appreciate it. Johnny's happy, mom's happy, and they're aware of the issue. If they see some dried blood, and they take him home and says, what'd they do to this kid? Our all-in-one plan, fire, smoke, emergencies, evacuation maps, earthquake, kind of choose your adventure here, severe weather. We don't deal with hurricanes, but some do. We could deal with tsunamis out in L.A., tornadoes, intruder, active shooter, bomb threat, a lot of the different, and maybe some of your staff is, you know, I know there is an intruder seminar. I know one guy's covering MCI you can have put your medical plan into this and make sure it jives. We're meshing that you're not, the MCI guy that's writing the MCI plan is not jiving with our medical plan. And then a burglary. What if staff show up in the morning and they notice the place has been burglarized? What's our standard operating procedure for that? Some equipment. What do we need? Some communications equipment, medical supplies, obviously, maybe some personal protective equipment, first aid room if we can. Communications, how are you going to let people know that we got a problem? Are you going to use radios? Radios can be an issue because if people are constantly talking to them, they disrupt the church service. So we got earpieces. You know, and what's your budget for all this? Are we spending money on the AED? Are we spending money on the medical equipment? Then you're going to need to get creative on. Pretty much everyone's got a cell phone. Do cell phones work in your church service and they can keep it on vibrate? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have, where my church is at, we don't have service.
So
go down the road to get service.
You're going to have runners. And at my church, they go, hey, every Sunday morning, this seat right here is reserved for the EMT doctor or whatnot. And there's the little placard on there, so the on-call EMT knows that's right there. The usher's in the back. We keep one usher in the back the whole time, so if anything happens back there, she can run up, hey, Johnny's sick again, bloody nose, go get him. So there's even a seminar. Bob's teaching a seminar on if you're going to get a full-blown communication center, which is going to be a pretty elaborate event, like a 10,000-member church. They have it. Pagers, telephone, and then notifications to the staff and security. How are you going to let them know? Something small. It's going to be pretty simple. Here's a communications policy example. Looks like they're running everything through their security base, through a radio, and the nurse has got an earpiece in. So being a police officer and part of the security team at Grace Community Church, it's the earpiece can be distracting when I'm there for church service. So if I don't have to do it every week, it's nice. But when I am on call, I've got the earpiece in and I can split and handle an issue that happens. Same here. If it's small enough, we got runners, that's always good. First aid kits, just some things to be ready for is, because it's hard to say, hey, this is the first aid kit I want you to have and give you a list of everything that it's just going to be. We'd be here all day. But have some things that you can be ready for an airway problem, and that can be as simple as a little mask to put over the face to a bag Malvas that we can actually force air into them. Be ready to cover some bleeding and be able to take care of some shock. And then have a policy in place. Hey, if they blow through a first aid bag, what's the procedure for getting restocking? Are they buying it and giving you receipts? Do you trust them to do that? Stuff can get pretty expensive. If we're going to trust our staff to come say, oh yeah, I want this adventure medical kit at $259, and they, here Tim, here's the receipt, and you go, whoa, that's more than we wanted. We don't need that. So have something in place so they know for next Sunday or the next event that they can have enough supplies. Here's a policy for them that I saw. It was a bag of supplies is provided in the first aid room, and they're to check the following things whenever they when they're on duty that day. So obviously they're going to have to get there a little early. It is responsible for each nurse while on duty to ensure they have the proper supplies available. And then I've got my own bag with my family, because usually in my church, I'm the one that they go, hey, so-and-so just hit his head. So I know in my bag I got everything I need, and it's to my scope of practice. I mean, there's nothing in there crazy that a doctor would use. Oh, it's specifically so I know what's in there and what to use. So defibrillator, it is pretty big. Here's some stats. If no bystander CPR is provided, a victim's chance of survival is reduced to 7 to 10% with every minute of delay. So you're 20 minutes away from someone with a defibrillator. And if we do have a defibrillator, the cardiac arrest survival rate or without one is about 5%, providing early, if there is no early defibrillation. In cities with a community AED, bystanders provide immediate CPR, provide first shock within 3 to 5 minutes. They report a survival rate of ventricular fibrillation or sudden cardiac arrest goes up to 48 to 74%. So that's a pretty good survival rate. When this gentleman at 56 goes pale, cool, diaphoretic, says a couple words, collapses, and by the time he collapses, we can have an AED there, and we're already providing CPR. His survival rate just went up 50 to 75%. But those aren't cheap, so it's going to be an investment. Take care of your people, your medical staff. Make sure they got the proper. This is kind of a joke here in the middle, but definitely you don't want them out there providing medical treatment and they got a lot of blood on them. Someone splatters something in their eye. You definitely want to take care of them. So make sure they got the proper PPEs. So when they're out there volunteering their time, administering to them, they're protected. First aid room, if you have the space at my church, the first aid room is also the duplication room, the usher's room, it's where the safe's at, and then where the first aid kit is. So I know at Grace they had a whole room just almost looks similar to that, where they can store your medical supplies. It's clearly marked, so everyone knows how to get to it. They know how to get inside of it. They know what to take. Easy access, consider some keyless entry, centrally located. When something goes wrong or bad, I want to be able to say, Tim, go get the AED for me and get the oxygen. You can run and do that. So here's some policy stuff. It goes into, hey, the nurse on Sundays to inspect, make sure the oxygen tanks are ready to go, make sure she's got the documentation. She's got the keys to the first aid room, all the equipment's available and ready to go. The room is clean. And then at the end of the service, nurses will make sure the room's ready for the next time we need it. So they're removing, disinfecting if they need to, if they use the room at all, things of that nature. Documentation. One of the things that can really drive people crazy is the fact that when your EMS people arrive at your incident, in 20 minutes I can get a lot of documentation done. If someone's treating the patient, I can jot down a lot of things. But if I know this is the actual form we use in the LAFD, that if I know what they're going to ask prior to their arrival, or maybe I even have a photocopy of their form that I start filling out that I can give to them and say, here's what I've got so far, name, address, phone number. Now they're going to do their own assessment, but at least you have some of the other stuff already knocked out, medical insurance form, ID card, all that stuff, allergies, that you can kind of save a lot of time and have some documentation for you at the end of the event. And then, yeah, you can keep that documentation for your staff, saying, hey, so-and-so fell on this date, and our medical staff treated, and they went to the hospital. Here's a documentation policy. Forms are kept in the clipboard. And like these are just examples just to kind of jog your memory. If you are treating infants or small children, we talked about that one form we want. If you're just going to treat them and keep them in the nursery, hey, definitely jot something down on what you did or what were your findings. At Grace, they even had the nurse would go around to the nursery, would do a round, and if kids had runny noses or something, they would pluck them out of the nursery, grab the parents, and say, hey, we don't know if this kid's contagious or not, but our policy is no runny noses on Sunday. So it got that elaborate. And make sure we do have some kind of incident report form that we can use. It can be really simple or something really elaborate that they can jot down. And whether you want that documentation for yourself at a later date, at least have some kind of form that you can hand to the EMS, the ambulance, when they arrive. Training, with any plan, we gotta make sure the plan works. So you need to exercise the plan. Make sure, hey, are providing runners, does that work? Having the person sit here, does that work? Hey, if you know, during a Sunday morning, go to one of the nursery staff. Hey, so-and-so just fell and is bleeding. Do you know what the plan is? And it's not to demean them or anything. It's just to kind of see, hey, are we getting this out to our new nursery staff workers? Yeah, I know I'm to grab this radio, contact the on-duty usher who sits in the back of the lobby. Then he runs up and grabs a nurse, and the medical equipment's here. I know on our medical form here, it actually has the physical address of where I'm at and the callback number, so I can call 911 if we need to. The other thing is records. We go back to, hey, if I am really a nurse, does our coordinator actually have the records to say, yeah, he is or she is, and is it valid? So most of the time, you got people that are already trained in EMS. You're not going to really provide any training. You could have nurses provide first aid training to parents that are going with the camps, high school staff, whatever. Provide some first aid medical training. Train the nursery security staff and CPR. Make sure we keep accurate records of everyone's training. Homework. Seek out your local fire EMS agency. I think there's even a seminar just on that alone this week on inviting them out to your campus. Hey, this is what goes on every Sunday. This is what this place will look like. Full. Here's some target hazards. We keep stuff in here. If it's a big active shooter, you need additional medical supplies. Our first aid room's here. We've discussed some treatment areas. If it's a big, large disaster, we've got a big grassy area. What do you guys think? Oh, we like that, or we don't like that. We actually like this area better. Plenty good. We'll put that in our plan. Give them an opportunity to give some input, because they're the ones that are going to come in and handle your issue. Seek additional training. There's CPR classes, CERT, basic first aid, AED training. Maybe the fire department's got some training that they put on to the community. Red Cross, American Heart Association. Talked about exercise in our plan. And when we're having meetings, maybe the annual meeting, it's a good opportunity to check our equipment. Hey, is the industry changed? Is there new standards? Is our stuff out of date? And then obtain an AED. That's probably easier said out of my mouth than actually done. But some of those can be pretty expensive. There's plenty sample medical plans online. I pulled up a couple from American Heart Association. I called some large churches, had them, hey, can you email me something that you guys use? It's just something to kind of jog your memories of what's out there and what I might want in my plan. And then for the rest of the week, I got some options for you if you're looking for some communications issues for your plan. You got Bob here that's got something. If you're worried about insurance or workers' comp, Pete and Mike, look at your schedule. There's the legal and liability issues. Natural disasters, if you're looking for some, maybe one of your guys is already in one of those.
Yeah, I know some of those are.
Crisis management team.
That's mine.
There's public safety relations. That goes into, hey, get the fire department, get your EMS, get your cops out to your campus, I believe. And then if you get a big MCI, he'll talk specifically about that. There's my family. Any questions?
No, I don't think so. I appreciate it. It was thorough.
In an hour, you cannot possibly get you out of this room and say, hey, I'm certified to provide you with every little thing out there. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I like that.
So the help to prevent swine flu. But my goal is to kind of give you a little, some memory joggers to say, hey, look, wow, we need to shore up our area over here, or we need to shore up some of the things, or we're looking pretty good over here, but we could really use some more medical supplies. I think the bottom line is that if something happens in your church campus, the next time is that people are going to swing into action with a little bit of a plan where they go, hey, that 56-year-old falls right now. I'm going to go, okay, medical staff person here, usher's there, usher comes in. Hey, nurse, what are we doing? Hey, we're leaving him in place. This is critical. Go ahead and call 911. I need an AED. Go get the oxygen. Go get the first aid supplies. Other ushers come in. Hey, everyone out. We're going to go out these two doors. Pastor knows. Oh, is that what the plan is? He knows. I'm going to go into ministry mode. Hey, family members, come over here. Let's talk. And it's a little bit smoother. Whether we do no treatment whatsoever, we've already started to manage the problem. Hey, can we get his ID? What's his medical history? What's his allergies? Hey, someone called 911. Yes, we've already done that. That type of stuff. Security staff's out there in the street waiting for 20 minutes. That's a long time. Where
yeah,
I'm
now,
from.
My work is not. I mean, at work, right. We can almost see the hospital. You know, and we have a rural medical mission. We have some doctors. We actually have doctors on staff for other things.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, nurses. Several EMTs, a lot of this, but still, this stuff, a lot of it's focused outside of our work area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have AEDs, I think, in every building, at least one. And, you know, that's really, I think it's more pertinent to my church. And I have, matter of fact, Jeff Hawkins, one of the speakers, Will went to the seminar last year. He covered, not in the detail you did, but particularly, you know, church liability, having AEDs and having a plan and all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, you can imagine if someone comes into your organization and says, hey, my so-and-so fell and he ended up dying. Oh, it's terrible. It happens. Ah, we're suing you. Oh, okay. So we go to court, we got this written plan, and hey, we got procedures in place. I mean, we can't prevent everyone from having a heart attack or falling down and tripping and falling and dying. But hey, we're covered ourselves liability-wise.